And I already had 3 cups of coffee this morning, so I thought I'd be all spry and ready to go. Get my tongue out of the way this morning. We're actually going to start off on a study talking about the nature of God. And this morning we're going to kind of look at these four attributes of God, and then we're going to get into and actually break down some other attributes of God, of learning who He is. You know, God wants us to know who He is. I remember back when my sister was a teenager, and I was a preteen. There's 5 years difference between my sister and I. And she was all into, there's a gentleman, I don't know if you guys remember this, his name was Sean Cassidy. Oh, yeah, and all the girls were like, oh, yeah. And I don't know, this is back, what, probably mid-80s? Does that sound about right? And so she had posters that she had gotten. And my sister wasn't, I got to be careful here. She'll beat me up. I'm afraid of my sister. But, you know, she was a rough, tough type person. So she wasn't one of these, you know, was all girly type of thing. But she had a poster, and she had a magazine. It was, what do they call it? Teen Beat? What? Tiger Beat! I'm finding out about my wife. Your sister. Oh, yeah, it's always a sister. It's always a sister. And in there was talking about, like I said, why I remember this, I don't know. But there was, you know, a section about Sean Cassidy, and was he an actor, a singer? Both, okay. And so in there was a section on there where it's like, you know, he liked puppies, and his favorite color was blue, and there was all these things, and so all the girls all wanted to know what he, you know, all his things were and what he was all into. And, and when it's all said and done, you know, they all thought they knew who he was, but guess what? They didn't. I mean, that was all persona and everything in there. But it's interesting, this desire to know someone, right? When my wife and I were dating, we didn't date like normal people. We were in different states, and that was before internet and all that. And so we wrote letters back and forth. There were very few phone calls because remember the day where it was long distance? And so we're in Bible school, and neither of us had money. So everything was through correspondence. I was looking forward to the letters that I would get from her and find out more about her over the course of time that we had. And so, as we look at these things, our desire should be to know about God. And God has revealed Himself in His Word. And, you know, just as we went through sort of the red letters, you know, over the last 3 years, we were in talking about the red letters. But looking at the words of Christ, this is going to be taking a step back and kind of looking at sort of doctrinally of who God is. And so we're just going to look at these things, sort of considering the nature of God. We look around us, and creation reflects that. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For since creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Romans chapter 1 says, look, that even the unsaved people can look at creation around them, and attributes of God are revealed. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about how even the unsaved have a sense of right and wrong. Right? In here, they have a sense of justice. They want things that set right. I think there's a desire for something beyond this world. Right? If this world is it, aye, 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 how sad are we? I'm thankful there's something else. And I think there's a desire within even the unsaved, because they're created in the image of God, that God has left there His footprints or His handprints upon them. And there is that nature of man that knows that, but the problem is that because of sin, they don't seek Him. And Romans chapter 1 talks about progression as they reject God. Right? There's enough around you. I mean, you look at the beauty of the snow. You look at the seasons. For me, I always was amazed at, you know, you get this little tiny little baby, and you get these little tiny fingernails, and these little tiny fingers, right? I mean, you look at the complexity of all that. And how can you say that just happened? Right? I mean, all these things come on, and how God's attributes are revealed all the way around us if we will open our eyes to it. So God wants us to see Him and know Him. And He's revealed Himself not only in creation, but in His Word. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. So this morning we're going to go look at four natural attributes of God. First one, that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And what that means is God is not physical or material, right? God is not a human. He's not a person. Look what he says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. It says, now to the God, King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Right? God does not have hands and feet and eyes and ears. God's not limited to those things. God is spiritual. I was talking to someone and they were talking about the idea of science. Science is the study of the material world. Right? So you can't study God through science because it's not the right tool for the job. Right? God is a spirit. He never was a man. Notice what it says here, Numbers. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should repent. Right? God is not a man. We got to realize this, that God is not some man who ascended on high. That's what the Mormons believe, that God was once a man, and now he's Father God, because he went through all the hoops and did all the right things, and he became a God. God was never a man. Because he is not a man, he's not limited like we are, constrained by these things of this world. God is actually outside of this physical plane that we are on. And because he's outside of it, he created it. So God is not part of the trees. God is not part of the rocks, right? You talk to some people, and God's everywhere. And God's in all things. That's what the Bible says. He's not contained in the physical. Jesus tells us this, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That we are created in the image of God. We're going to look at this in a little bit, but we are triune. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. Right? The body, we know what that's like. Right? That's all this. That's the thing that breaks down all the time. Someone said that after 40, you know, your check engine light comes on. And anything after that is maintenance. And I remember being younger, saying, yeah! And I'm like, ugh, yeah. Right? I mean, I remember, you know, being sore, going to bed and waking up refreshed. Now I go to bed refreshed and wake up sore. I don't know what's happened. Right? This isn't getting any younger. I'm losing hair. The ones I have are changing colors and they're coming out my ears. And I don't know what's all up with all that. Oh. So that's the physical. We all understand what the body is. But the Bible says that we're a triune. That in you we have a soul and we have a spirit. And where those two things cross, what helps me is to understand that my soul is who I am. Right? That's my thoughts. That's my intellect. That is who I am. That's contained within this body. But then we also have a spirit. The best way for me to remember this is we talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That we have a spirit within us. And that is our eternal part. That is that part that communes with God. And when we worship Him in our spirits. Eternally lifting up towards God. When sin entered into the world, man spiritually died. That connection to God got severed. So part of us is eternal. The question is, where are we going to spend that eternity? But we are eternal. God is a spirit, not a man. In here, not confined into the physical aspects of this world. The Bible says that God is spirit. Not only that, God says God is a person. Now, I think of a person, we're not talking about a you know, like a body like you and I. But when we talk about that God is a person, that God is an individual, and he's got a mind, he's got an intellect, he's got an emotion, and he's got a will. God is not some cosmic force. He's not some cosmic energy. He is a person. And we see this played out, right? Some people want to have this idea that, God is you and God is me. He flows through us all. Almost in a sense of Star Wars and sort of the force that's used there, right? That's just sort of an eternal spiritual thing that's just kind of out there that we can just tap into. No, God is a person. Isaiah tells us this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That here the scripture is clear that God thinks. He's got a purpose. He's got a design. As a creator, all these things are contained. That from the beginning of the creation, he knew all things. He knows how things are going to work out. He designed all things. That his ways of doing things are beyond ours. And I think it's good for us to remember that sometimes, because sometimes we think that my way is the best way, or maybe that's just me. And sometimes in my prayers, I'm like, God, this is how you need to work things out. Right? We kind of have this idea that God's this little genie, and he, we rub the bottle, we pray a certain way, and then everything I want is going to happen. Years ago, I was walking through the checkout counter, now don't judge me, but it caught my eye was the National Enquirer. You know, don't judge, you've done this, you've gone through the checkout aisle, and it's caught your eye about the bat boy who visited the White House, or, whatever is on the magazine covers. And it caught my eye. The title was, "Words to Say for Guaranteed Answer to Prayer." And under it was, "If you say these certain words in a certain order, then God has to give you what you want." You know what that's called? That's witchcraft. Right? That you say a certain spell, and something's going to happen. Right? God is not a cosmic force to be bent and twisted into our will. We approach him as a person. And he's got a purpose. And he's got a means. Proverbs tells us, and it said, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, it's the Lord's counsel that will stand." That you and I are limited in our knowledge, limited in our abilities, and yet God has a plan that is going to plan out. That God is sovereign. He is over all. That from the beginning of creation, he knows everything that's going to play out We're talking about that a little bit in men's breakfast yesterday. A few of you were having a conversation and talking about basically the Lord's going to take us when it's our time. Right? That our days are numbered, the Bible says. Now, some of that I believe that God looks down in eternity and he knows these things are, and he's kind of factored in my stupidity. But think about that. I'm not going to die one day sooner than what God allows. So I trust in him. Right? I trust him and I love him as a person. He's got a will. Probably one of the most familiar passages is the Lord's Prayer. It says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your what? Will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That God has a will. Right? How many of you guys remember when your children were little? You know, they come to you pretty much prepackaged, and they're kind of like this little blob, and you put them where you put them, and you come back and they're in the same spot, right? You feed them, they take what you give them, right? I mean, you have all those kind of things when they come in new. And then all of a sudden that day comes. And some of you, that your children were pretty strong-willed early on, right? Some of you had very complacent children. You know, we put an order in for one of these really complacent, compliant, non-crying children. That's who we put in for an order. Our order got mixed up. Because our children that came and they cried and they complained and they were kind of strong-willed. I don't know where they get the strong-willed from. Definitely not from me. Because I'm just so laid back. My wife's going to storm out here pretty soon. But that happens in their life. All of a sudden, they become a little person. Right? I don't want to. They learn no. Right? And they resist. And some of you had strong-willed children that were just stubborn as all get out. I remember one day, lay down my girl and put her on the floor, and I turned around just for a second, and I turned right back, and she was gone. And I'm like, where'd she go? You know, she wasn't old enough to crawl and all that. And I'm like, where'd she go? And I'm like, of course, my first thought is, oh no, what am I going to tell my wife? You know, I lost my kid. You know? And her just little gurgly kind of noise, and she had apparently learned to roll, and she took two rolls, and she was underneath the couch. Out of sight, you know, but enough to cause me to panic. But they become little people, right? One of the things we look at, they develop a will. God has a will. And He's got a plan. And our desire is, God, Your will is greater than my will. And Lord, Your will be done. Even this morning we prayed for all these requests. And Lord, this is what I would like to see happen, but Lord, we ask things all according to what? Your will. The Bible says we do not have a high priest who cannot understand, but in all points was tempted like us, that we can have come boldly before His throne of grace, because He's a God who knows and understands us. We have a personal God. I'm thankful for that. They're not praying for some cosmic, faraway thing. Actually, so much so, the Bible tells us that He knows when a sparrow falls. He knows how many hairs are on our head. It would be serve a God who cares. Think about that. You know, I often wonder, a couple of years ago, I was at one of the farmers markets in Belfast. And there's a lady there who had her wares up for sale. And she was wearing a little fairy outfit. And my first thought was, she looks a little old to be playing dress up. And I was just kind of going through, and she was talking and just sharing how, wearing this outfit makes her feel closer to nature. And how that unity with nature, and she all talked about this idea of nature, 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 nature. And I'm thinking, really, how sad that is. Because it's so unpersonal. Isn't it? You know, people could talk about these cosmic forces of karma, of equity, and all these things. The universe is going to set things right. How cold is that? That we serve a God in His personhood that we can come before, who knows my name, who cares about me, knows my needs. Right? The Bible tells us that, you know, I don't know how to pray sometimes. And the Holy Spirit helps me in my prayers. How personal is that? You know, sometimes I wonder what that kind of looks like. You know, sometimes it's like, I don't know how to pray. I'm just overcome. And I'm just kind of like, and the Holy Spirit's like, oh, this is what He means. And this is what He needs, right? But then also there's times when God just comes alongside me. And you feel that presence of a God who just kind of wraps His arms around you. There are times when I probably ask for things and, Lord, I could really use a Ferrari. And the Holy Spirit is kind of like, you know what? You're more of a Ford guy. Here's your Ranger, right? That's what you need. You don't need a Ferrari. This is what you need. And I'm thankful that I have a God who knows me. Book of Psalms, I believe, says that he knows your frame. And to me, that just brings home the fact, you know what? God knows that what you can take and what you can't take. He knows what you can handle. That God is not going to ask more of you than he is able to provide for. God is a person with a purpose and with a will. We see that God has emotion as well. The Bible describes God as having hate. There's things that God hates. God hates sin. God hates unrighteousness. You know, as we look into this world, I can't think of probably something that God hates more, that we live in a country now where increasingly that we are willing to tell people that they can kill their unborn children. I think God hates that. The Bible talks about God having anger. We see God's wrath being poured out. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Woe to some of these people who will stand before God and give an account for their sin. The Bible talks about God being jealous of not serving others, of not giving anyone else that place that God deserves in our lives. God is described as being sorrowful, of being filled with joy, of being compassionate. And of course, God is love. All these things point to the personhood of God. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit. God tells us that he is a person. God also tells us that he is one. Deuteronomy says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one."